Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, it is a blessing to gather in your name here this morning. Thank you for bringing us all safely here. We thank you for the songs that we're able to sing, and I pray that that helped us to set aside our normal cares and focus our attentions upon you. Help us to take the words of the song we sing and consider them, that we may use them as well as your word and others, the encouragement from other brothers and sisters to live a holy life before you. We lift this time up and pray that you would be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to go over some verses here in Acts chapter 3. The end of my notes say, Jesus came for you to bless you. So that is going to be, I guess if I was to give a title, here is Jesus came to bless you, as written in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 26 reads, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from his iniquities." There's a lot there, and I don't really plan on focusing on that, but I'd like you to just keep that in mind. That there's a reason. There's a reason why things work out the way that they do, the way things go, so on and so forth. Have you ever thought that going through pain is a blessing? You know, I've had splinters, and sometimes I leave. If I left a splinter there in my hand, it's fine. It doesn't hurt. If I touch it, or hit it or grab something, and it hurts a lot. But I know that if I pulled it out, it's also going to hurt a lot. But it's best for me to take the splinter out. When we have wickedness, which is what usually is the word iniquities is translated to, when we have wickedness in our lives, we need to, as we get to, we need to repent from that, because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring a blessing. Raise the hands of those who know what a teeter-totter is. Have you been on a teeter-totter? Not as many? Yeah, seesaw, teeter, whatever it is. So, most everybody, but they're not as popular as they used to be in playgrounds. So, a teeter-totter, a seesaw, I'm not an artist, so I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but we'll go like that, and we'll do this, and this is going to be the center. It may not be the exact center, but we're going to pretend it is. And on a seesaw or a teeter-totter, you have a little seat here, and people sit on it, and they push off with their feet and go up. Then they go flat for a moment, and then they go the other way. So this person may push with their feet, that person goes down, and if one person weighed more than the other, then it is going to go, it's going to go the way where the person weighs more, okay? So basically, it's a balance. It's a balance that people, that children used to play with, see them occasionally. I don't recommend this, so don't do this. But if you are going to walk on the teeter-totter, then you're going to have all your weight on one side and nobody's gone on the other side. As you walk up the teeter-totter, you're going to get closer to the center. You're going to be, as I'm going to try to illustrate, you're going to be less a self and maybe more for others. Okay? So as you go up to teeter totter, you may be less of your own self, more other people. When you get in the center, I'm going to call that a place of repentance. You can be a really good person and be on the wrong side of the teeter totter. This side of the teeter totter, so this may be a place of repentance. So that's a place of decision. You know, we can't really quantify that as a person because, well, maybe you can. I've never been able to. But it's a spiritual place that pretty much God understands. When we get on the other side of the teeter totter, I'm going to say we become less of ourselves, continue to be less of, but more of Jesus. And that's what the place of repentance is. We can be a really good person and be really hardly any of ourselves, but there's no Jesus. It doesn't bring us to where we want to go, which is eternal life. This is the natural man. You're born here. You don't have a choice. So our natural self, when we can choose to be all ourselves, and then we're there, you know, all the weights are on ourselves, and we think we're great. But as we go, we realize that, you know, life is more fulfilling being less of ourselves and more for other people. But then that doesn't bring us to eternal life. But repentance does. And in a sense, that's what we see being given to the Israelites here. If I can use that as an illustration, as an idea of the Israelites had the old covenant. They understood what God wanted, but they did it in themselves. They were becoming, in a sense, they were becoming more for others and less of themselves. But when Jesus came, he gave the explanation, no, you need repentance. We have the illustration in John chapter 3 about a man who was healed, a lame man. He was in front of the beautiful gate, or the gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John gave this lame man what they had, which was Jesus Christ. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he did. Others around them saw that and they were amazed. They were filled with wonder, as it says there in verse 10, and amazed. And so what did they do with it? They didn't know. I try to keep it in context of my mind. These are religious people. These are not people on the street. These are religious. These are people who are searching for God. You know, they go to these were people inside the temple who wanted to know God more. So when people saw their great wonder, then he started to explain to them that this is God's plan all along, all the way from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was God's plan for Jesus to die for their sins. This man was made whole, as it says in verse 16, through faith in the name of Jesus. At one point, that man would have gone from one side of the teeter-totter to the other. Walking up walking up it is a challenge. It's a struggle to be less of self and more for other people. But it can be a greater challenge to take that step, that first step going the other way. Because not only does that level off, but it goes down. Can you just think about that? All of a sudden you go, oh, what are you going to do? Where are you going to stop? That's where faith comes in. We have to have faith. We have to understand that we can't do this ourselves. And that's where Peter is trying to bring these Israelites. He's trying to bring them from the point of being more about being good to others. Now, I don't want to make light of, they were living God's law, or at least to the best of their ability. But as we will see here, that through the prophets, they were speaking of, you know, the prophets were talking of Jesus Christ, of taking that first step to being less like self and more like Jesus. Verse 19, I'm going to read verses 19, 20, and 21 here of Acts chapter 3. Peter tells the people, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." That was the plan. The plan was, from the very beginning, that Jesus was going to come to bring restoration between man and God through Jesus Christ, who they heard. So this is a person. Jesus Christ isn't new to them. They knew who he was. They knew the works that he had done. And Peter is explaining that he's going to bring all those together, the restitution of all things, which God had already talked about. So he is bringing into their memory all those things that they have already known. They're probably, if they're like me, they're thinking, okay, all right, I see it here. I'm not sure I see it here, but I see it here. You know, maybe speak on, you know, enlighten me, tell me some more. And so that's exactly what he does. He continues on there in 21, but I'd like to pause for a moment here and talk about verse 19 and verse 20 and 21. Repentance is an action. Repentance is something that we do. So he gave them something to consider to actually do. But he also focused that on Jesus Christ. When I looked at verses 19, 20, and 21, he says, repent, be converted, and then there's a benefit that comes with that. That benefit is that your sins may be blotted out. Sins being blotted out, that word blotted is the exact same word as is written in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, John writes of what he saw. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, being in heaven, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That wipe away is the same Greek word, it's the same thing as blotted out. It also says those same words in Revelation chapter 21, that God is going to wipe away all their tears. So that removal, when tears get wiped away, they're not there anymore. The tears are gone. They're taken. And that's what repentance does, is it takes away the sins. They are there. They are not there any longer. And then times are refreshing. That reminds me of John chapter 14, verse 27, when Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to give his peace to them, not as the world gives. So maybe I should say it this way. It's a greater peace. Think more of it. And so that peace, that Holy Spirit that only Jesus can give, is what I think of when I see here, when the times of refreshing shall come. And it comes from where? From the presence of the Lord. As we get to the other side of that teeter totter seesaw, then we can receive the peace because we have faith, where we're exercising our faith as we as we walk that plank, we'll say. You know, on the illustration, there are ends, but in real life, you know, we really can't, you know, we really can't see a beginning and we really can't see an end. It's a journey. And as we go, we get closer to the ground, so to speak, there. We get closer to the eternal life as we trust more and more of Jesus. And as we walk away, you know, sometimes when we walk up that slope, up to that point of balance, to the point of repentance, some people go fast and some people go slow. You know, what God brings you through, somebody else may not have to go through. But what they bring, what God brings somebody else through, you may not have to go through. You know, we have different experiences. And we have what is written in front of us is the experience of the Jews there of the temple, that he's using their understanding. Paul also used that type of understanding, of way of dealing with people. What I mean is talking to the people where they're at and what they understand. And Acts chapter 17, I think. Let's see if I can find it here in my notes. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was on Mars Hill. I believe that's in Athens here. And he wanted to speak to people. And in verse 22 here, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." He meets them where they are and uses that as the illustration. That's the way God works in our life. That's how he can take us wherever we happen to be. He takes who we are in our life, in our experiences, and he shows us who he is. And that's why we have the illustration here in Acts chapter 3 the way it is because he's using the people who are God seekers, what they have learned in their life, to show them their need for Jesus Christ. In verse 21 to 25, I'd like to read those now. "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall the kindred of the earth be blessed." He took their life, and we read this different parts. Peter did that earlier here in Acts. Paul uses the same approach later in Acts. He took their understanding of God and showed them that it's this point of balance that they need to go past, that they need to repent to, is to Jesus Christ. It says in verse 21 there, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken." He's already told them, from the prophets, from the beginning of the world. And then he uses Moses, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, to the leaders there through the scriptures as well, that a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto your brethren like unto me. This is pretty much a word-to-word quote from Deuteronomy chapter 18. So he isn't just talking without bringing up the Old Testament scriptures. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, who whatsoever he shall say unto you. Moses made that connection that Jesus was going to be as a man, but also as God. These are problems that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law had with Jesus, that he equated himself with God. And Peter used that to help show them that this was the case. This has been written about before. In verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall... Wow, this is a part that I don't like. This is a part that some of us have some trouble with when it comes to talking to other people. But also it's very important that we can't forget, and we can't leave out. Verse 23 again, it's very sobering, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed among the people. It's, you know, it's either eternal life or not. You know, we're not going to stand on the balance, because then there's nothing there. It can be a very difficult point, but it's a very important point. And it's a point that some people need to know. There are a few people that is what brings them to the Lord, because they don't want eternal punishment. It is a point that Peter makes very clearly here. In verse 24, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So he's back again to the point where that law, those Psalms, all of the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets have told of this time. In 25, ye are children of the prophets. You know, he puts them there. You know, you came from these people, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, and in thy seed. So we have the beginning of the point, the beginning of, guess, of my end, which is that Jesus came to bless you. He came to bless all of us. And it's through that covenant, or I should say the fulfillment of that covenant to Abraham, that all on earth were going to be blessed. Take a pause for a moment and turn to Acts chapter 26. Because we can't lose sight, again, that Peter is speaking very specifically to Israelites who are part of this covenant. But we also see that in that promise was to all of those throughout the earth. And we see that again here in Acts chapter 26, where Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, and I'm going to start halfway through 14, which is I'll start in the beginning of 14 here. And this is Paul speaking. And when we were all fallen to the earth, so they saw the bright light that was like the sun shining around them and basically blinding them. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul, here, through the revelation that he had of Jesus during this vision, or whatever word belongs there, that Paul was sent as well to the Israelites, but also to the Gentiles. And of course, in the Jewish mind, there are only two sets of people. They were Jews and not Jews. So the not Jews were Gentiles. So this means everybody. This means that this message that we hear Peter telling the Israelites was for them is also for us and for our descendants and for those who went on before us. In verse 18, I find it really interesting, and this is probably where I got a lot of my inspiration out of looking, you know, looking through chapter 3, you know, somewhat through the lens here, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So that's what I'd like to also say. Darkness is on one side, light is on the other side. But we have to go through repentance in order to get there. There's no other way. From the power of Satan to the power of God is only done through repentance. And that's when we can receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance there of eternal life. So back in Acts chapter 3, verse 26 reads, Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's what I started with there in verse 26 and would like to end with. First, if somebody uses first, that kind of assumes there's probably going to be a second. So first went to the Jews, second to the Gentiles. They had the first opportunity, but not the only opportunity. Raised up Jesus, whom we just talked about as being that prophet that was spoken of in Deuteronomy, sent to bless us by turning us away from our wickedness. And as I mentioned, sometimes when we turn away from our wickedness, that hurts. It comes with some pain. But in the long run, it's going to feel a lot better. It's going to feel a lot better. And there's a lot that goes in with that. You know, we read earlier about faith. We read a little bit about being converted. We didn't really talk about that because there in verse 19, it says, Repent ye therefore and be converted. To turn. Converted means turn. There's most of the places when I looked up that word converted, almost there, I think there was only one other, there might be more that I didn't look at too closely, but most of the time that word was translated turn. So, you know, there's a change of direction in our life. Repentance is I guess this isn't really a turn, but to go from going up to going down, I'm going to use that as the illustration for turning. And in taking those steps, we will exercise our faith. I really appreciated these verses and helping me to bring some of this, you know, keeping the New Testament together. It all is intertwined. Sometimes it's hard for me to kind of separate a little bit out, but I was very thankful for the reminder here that Jesus came, his coming is a blessing for each of us. Well, thank you for your time this morning.